thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
So Deuteronomy 6, 22 to 23, and then I'm going to turn to Luke 4. Deuteronomy says this. This is Moses speaking to the children of Israel just before, really, they were going into the promised land. Before our eyes, the Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders, great and terrible, upon Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in. And that's the key. He brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land that he promised on oath to our forefathers. And then if you turn over to Luke chapter 4, 17 to 21. Wonderful, wonderful words. This is Jesus in the synagogue at Nazareth, his hometown. Luke 4, 17. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Amen. Wonderful words. I have always loved Jesus' mission statement in Luke 4 there, where he uses Isaiah's prophecy about the Messiah from Isaiah 61. And he says to those who were gathered in the synagogue, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus was simply saying to them, "This is who I am. This is what I have come here to do." Jesus didn't come to be just another voice among many voices. He didn't just come to add to the already very heavy religious burden of the people. He didn't just come to talk about God. He came to bring the kingdom of God to earth. He came so that people could experience the rule and the reign of God, breaking out of heaven onto earth and touching people's lives and setting them free. That's why Jesus came. In his own words, he said, "I've come to preach good news to the poor, proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, physical and spiritual, release the oppressed, and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The Gospels are the record of Jesus doing that, his ministry on earth. And we know that his death and his resurrection, that was the completion of what he came to earth to do. His ultimate aim was to bring people back to God. Obstacle, the big obstacle of sin that was upon and in every human being, Jesus came to defeat that obstacle. He came by his blood to purchase men for God. Isn't that wonderful news? He came to defeat sin and to open up the way that we could all come into that relationship with God, receive the gift, the free gift of eternal life. That was then. Jesus' ministry is carrying on today. That same stuff, I shouldn't use the word stuff. Preach good news to the poor. Proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Open blind arise, release the oppressed, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That ministry carries on today through the church by the power of the Holy Spirit. Every single believer has the Holy Spirit, and God wants to fill us, keep filling us, in fact, with his Holy Spirit, that as the church, we will carry on the ministry of Jesus. It's not a holy club. It's not just for us. It's to proclaim the wonderful good news of Jesus Christ. The Spirit is here this evening. Do you sense his presence? Sure you do. He is here by his power, moving among us. And we're going to experience his power moving among us. He is here tonight to change lives, all of our lives, if we allow him. So this word, the God who brings deliverance, is a word for all of us. And I pray tonight that as you listen, you will hear this word, firstly for yourself, apply it to your own heart, but also you will hear it prayerfully for those who still don't know anything about this, that they may truly come into this experience of forgiveness and deliverance. So I pray tonight that the Lord will come and bring deliverance to all of our lives. That's a theme out the Lord has laid in my heart. Peter, as he spoke in his sermon to Cornelius and his household, said in Acts 10:38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. Jesus healed all who were under the power of the devil. That is not just physical healing. That is part of it. But it is also spiritual healing, setting people free. Firstly, delivered from sin. Here's a shocking statement. Every single person who is not a Christian is under the power of the devil. Now, of course, the majority of them have absolutely no awareness of that. Some people do have an awareness, but most haven't. And if you suggested to them that they were under the power of the devil, they'd be mortally offended. They wouldn't believe it. But nonetheless, it's true. Because if God is not your master, the devil's your master. You can't serve two masters. A person is either a child of God or they are a child of the devil. There's no other option. Since the fall of humanity in the Garden of Eden, every person has taken on the sinful nature of our forefather, Adam. A nature that is in rebellion against God and alienated from God. Now, sometimes the results of this rebellion and alienation, they're clear to be seen. Sometimes you look around, you look at any news report, you see drug and alcohol addiction. You see child abuse and murders. You see corruption. You see cruelty. We have no difficulty looking at that and understanding that people who live like that are children of the devil. We've no difficulty really seeing that. What we find it harder to grasp are people who are kind, good living, churchgoers, pillars of society, charity workers, and generally really nice people are also children of the devil if they've not been born again. That is even difficult for us as Christians to comprehend. That is the truth of the Bible. Because if you're not a child of God, you are a child of the devil, whether you know it or not. How much more then difficult is it for people in that category to grasp that they're a child of the devil? That's why, as a church, we need the power of the Spirit, because it is only the Holy Spirit that can open up anybody's mind and heart to understand that they are a child of the devil. It is only the Holy Spirit who can open up somebody's heart and mind to understand that they are a sinner and they desperately need a Savior. But do we not believe in the power of the Spirit? We've been singing about it tonight. We've been singing about we have an awesome God. Oh, church, that we may be filled with Him and that our testimony would go out from our lives and our ministry and that people would be convinced and convicted and then converted by the power of the Spirit. Jesus spoke to Nicodemus. He was a religious man, a churchgoer, we would say. He was a pillar of society. Jesus said to him, Nicodemus, if you want to see the kingdom of God, you need to be born again. The second birth, where you are delivered from your sin and you're given a new nature. You're given a new heart. The old has gone, the new has come. You're a brand new creation. The old nature's still there. Some heretics over the years have taught that it's not, but it's still there. If you're a realistic person, you'll know it's still there. We still battle, do we not, against sin every day. We battle with temptation. But the difference is our spirits are alive. God gives us spiritual life where once there was only death. We have been delivered from sin. But that's not all. We have been delivered to serve. These verses I read from Deuteronomy, I read them earlier on in the week, where Moses was speaking to the people, big long speech to the people. And he's saying to them, God has done so much for you. He reminded them of the oppression and the slavery that they suffered in Egypt. And he's saying, God, with his mighty hand, he brought you out of there. Half the story, folks. That is half the story. He's saying he brought you out of there to bring you in, to bring you into the good land, the land flowing with milk and honey that God has prepared for you. God has brought them out, but his intention was to bring them in. Now you may know, well you do know, the Old Testament stories are written to teach us, for examples. In many cases, they're shadows of what was going to happen in Christ Jesus. Jesus brings the ultimate fulfillment of what these stories foreshadow. The exodus, or deliverance, of the children of Israel from Egypt is a shadow, a foreshadowing of what Jesus Christ does for us. He brings us out of bondage under Satan. He brings us out of the grip of Satan. He brings us out of the kingdom of darkness and brings us into the kingdom of his Son. Isn't that exciting? He releases us from something to take us into something. Praise his name. Jesus bought our freedom at the cross. At the cost of his life, with his blood, he brings us out from under the power of the devil when we put our trust in him. No longer a child of the devil, now a child of God. Praise his name. But that is only half the story. Because when he brings us out, when he brings us out from under the bondage of Satan, and he brings us into his kingdom, he wants to bring us into every blessing, spiritual blessings that he has stored up for us, and to discover just how rich they are. You know, in truth, the children of Israel had to fight many battles to take full possession of the land that God had brought them into. In truth, we have to fight many battles to take full possession of every blessing that God has for us. I want to read you just a couple of verses from Ephesians 1, 17 to 19. This is Paul, he says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. That's a blessing, knowing the Lord better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Then it goes on to talk about what that power is like in the working of his mighty strength, which he raised Christ from the dead. That's what he's brought us into. He has brought us into these blessings. But we need to take possession of them. As Christians, as I said, we still have that old nature. It never ceases to amaze me. Saved for donkey's years, but that old nature fights against the spirit every day. It's amazing. It's a battle. That old nature continually tries to pull us away from God. There are so many things that can hinder us in our walk, hinder us from possessing all the riches that God has for us. A very interesting story Jesus told people, you can read it when you go home in Luke 11, 24 to 26. He told it after he had cast an evil spirit out of a mute man who then began to speak. He told them this, he said, when an evil spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places looking for somewhere to rest. And if it doesn't find somewhere to rest, it comes back to the place that it left. And he said, when it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order, but not filled by another. And so it goes and finds seven other spirits, more wicked than itself, and they go in and they live there. He said, the final condition of that man is worse than the first. I think that's a very strong message from Jesus, warning us to be delivered from sin, to become a Christian. It's wonderful, but we don't stop there. We need to keep moving on and possessing everything that God has for us. When he delivers us, we need to allow him to be Lord of our lives. We need to be growing, filled with the Spirit, and growing into everything he has for us. If we put as much effort into nurturing the Spirit, our spirit within us, as we did into nurturing the old nature that we used to have and that we just was filled with sin, if we put as much effort into nurturing our walk with God, I'll tell you, we would be on a good journey. I ask you tonight, what strongholds are you facing in your life at this present time that's hindering you from taking possession of everything that God has for you? Is there some addiction that you just cannot seem to break? Is there some thought pattern and you just can't seem to get control of it? Is there been a habit formed in your life over many years and it's holding you back? Is there something, although maybe not sinful in itself, it's draining your time, draining your energies, and stopping you from absolutely committing yourself to the Lord? Is there a fear within you? Something that's stopping you, holding you back from taking that next step forward into what God has for you? Maybe you fear becoming a fanatic or something. Strongholds that stop us possessing what God has for us. If you've been in the grip of something for many years, you can come to believe, I'll never change. I can't change. I can't do anything about it. You may have tried so hard to change a habit, but each time you failed, and with every failure, you've become more and more convinced, this is it for me. I'm always going to be this way. Fear's controlling you. Fear of what other people will think about you. Fear of looking foolish. How many people fear that? The fear of failure. Fear of moving on from what's familiar to you. Friends, if there's anything holding you back from taking possession of what God has for you, you need deliverance from it. You need to experience the God who delivers. Delivers from sin and delivers into everything he has. The devil works by putting an iron grip on us. He likes to take control of our minds. He convinces us he'll never be any different. He wants you to learn to live with failure. Failure's a very common feeling for many Christians, is it not? Failure causes so many Christians to withdraw, not just physically, but spiritually to withdraw, thinking, I tried to move forward, you know, it didn't work, and I looked a bit silly, and, you know, I'm not going to do that again. I don't want to put myself out there again. Are you in a trap? That's a trap. I'm bringing you a message of hope tonight. I'm not bringing you a big, long list of everything you need to do to break free. I'm saying to you tonight, Jesus is here to set you free. Jesus is here. By the power of his Spirit, he is here tonight. It's not a big, long list of you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do the other. It's about Jesus, set me free. And he will do it. If in your heart you're longing for it, he will do it. He has the power, and he's here among us tonight. He's going to step into your heart, break the chains that bind you. Do you want to be free? Do you want to take a step forward in your Christian life? Do you want to move into those deeper depths with God? Do you want to go deeper in the Spirit? I know I do. Then tonight, he will deliver you. Jesus doesn't just sweep our lives clean. He does do that. But he wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit. A story Jesus told about those evil spirits, such a telling story, sweeping the house clean, but nobody else came and took possession. Friends, he sweeps our lives clean and his Holy Spirit comes to take possession. Hallelujah. Filling us, continually filling us. He is our master and our king. You know, when Jesus told that story to a crowd of people, a woman in the crowd shouted out to Jesus, blessed is a mother who gave you birth and nursed you. Just shout out. It's like some of you just shouting out something like me, at me. Please don't, unless it's hallelujah or something. But she shouted that out. Jesus replied, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Every time in the Bible, every time it comes down to hear, obey. Hear, obey. Hear, obey. Hear, obey. Every time throughout the whole Bible. It doesn't just matter about listening. enjoying being challenged. It matters about responding positively in obedience. Say, Lord, I hear your word. I will obey your word. Maybe you recognize something in your own heart this evening. Something that has become too important. Might be work. Might be a person. Might be a hobby. Might be possessions. But they've become, that thing has become first in your heart. The Bible just clearly calls that idolatry. We don't like to use that word as Christians. The Bible doesn't worry about using it. It's idolatry. Over and over again, God reminded his people, I'm a jealous God. I won't be second to anybody or anything. I am first. Friends, he loves us. He loves us with a holy passion. That's why some people can't cope with God saying, I am a jealous God. You think, what kind of a God says, I'm a jealous God? If you're married, do you not want your husband or wife to be jealous? Not in that sense where they're texting you every 5 minutes where you are, but in that sense of like, they protect that relationship because it means so much to them. I am married to somebody like that. God loves his people and he loves us with a holy passion. And he says, I'm not prepared to have you committing adultery with some idol somewhere. He said, you're my people. I love you. Be my people. Be holy unto me. Love me only. Serve me. Is there anything stopping you from living that passionate relationship with the Lord? Is there anything stopping you entering into everything that he has for you? Tonight, he has brought you out to bring you in. Every good thing he has prepared for you, allow him this evening to break the strongholds. As I said, if you cry out to him, if you cry out to him, he will break whatever it is that's hindering you, and you will be delivered. I say that on authority of his word because that's what he came to do. That is what he came to do. And that didn't stop 2,000 years ago. That work is carrying on to this very day. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise his name. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you tonight for your word. I thank you that you are a wonderful, wonderful Savior, a Savior who does bring us out to bring us in. Thank you for everything you have stored up for your children, both here in this life, Lord, these treasures, but Lord, also in the life to come. And I pray for those who have stood, Lord, I pray that as they cry out to you in their hearts, oh God, that you would break the chains that bind. Lord, that you would set them free tonight by the power of your Holy Spirit. Honor their faith tonight, Lord God, in standing. And for each one of us, I pray, open our eyes, Lord. Help us not to be content just to be stuck, but, oh God, to be moving forward into everything you have for us. Praise your name. You are a powerful God. Oh, you are an awesome God. As we sang tonight, awesome God. Nothing is too difficult for you. The devil speaks failure, God, into our hearts. But you sound the victory cry. Hallelujah. And I pray tonight, God, that victory would come to hearts in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And your
love is great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.